Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn is with me. We'll bring him in a moment. But it's been a short week for the Vikings, a quick turnaround following their preseason victory over the Dallas Cowboys on Saturday. The team flies home, takes Sunday off, come back and practice Monday and Tuesday, throw in a round of roster cuts over the last couple of days, two practices, a preseason finale coming up against the Titans, final cuts after that preseason finale, and you can see it's been a crazy week. All teams, remember, must be down to 53 players by September 5th. That means 22 players who are still on the team will be cut once the Tennessee game is over, and that's quite a change for a football team that's been carrying up to 90 players for the last several months all the way through training camp and the preseason. But this is that time of year, a tough time of year because you always hate having to cut guys, but also an exciting time of year because the regular season is right around the corner. But that's looking down the road. Let's look back at what happened to the Vikings in their preseason game against the Dallas Cowboys. They were victorious down at AT&T Stadium, moving to 4-0 in the preseason. A few key takeaways from the game. The defense continued to win the day for the Vikings. I know that Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer doesn't want his team to be satisfied, most certainly with what they did last year, even though they made great improvements. Zimmer does not want them to be satisfied with that. They've made great improvements over the offseason. They've looked good in training camp. They've looked good in all their preseason games, and Zimmer doesn't want them to be satisfied with that either. But with all that being said, it's hard not to come away impressed with how they've performed. They allow 14 points to the Cowboys on Saturday, and that is indeed their preseason average, points per game allowed, 14.0. First-team defense particularly sharp against the run, which is great to see because that's an area the team is emphasizing coming off of the 2014 season going into 2015, being better against the run, and they were very good against the run against the Cowboys. Now, Tony Romo and company did strike twice, so Zimmer and his defensive coaching staff do have some teaching tape to bring with them into this week of preparation for Tennessee and carry that into next week's preparation for the San Francisco 49ers. So, some good playing against the run and some things they can work on playing against the pass. Here's Coach Zimmer.
Defensively, I thought we did well with a lot of things. We didn't, we gave up that 160-yard throw, which was poor, but I thought for the most part we did a good job. We didn't maybe rush the passer as well as I'd like, but as far as in the running game, I thought Sharif was active, caused a lot of, got in the backfield a few times, which is kind of what I was talking about earlier about turning these guys loose a little bit. I thought Linville had they said four tackles and 12 plays or something like that. So B-Rob had three holding penalties on him. And Everson, he had one good rush on Smith, but didn't get to the quarterback.
Let's switch to the offensive side of the ball, and we'll talk about quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. He has been sharp all preseason and was the sharpest that he's been on Saturday night, going 7-for-7, bringing his preseason box score total to 29 of 35 for 295 yards and one touchdown with a passer rating of 111.3. He did take one sack, but it's the first sack he's taken all preseason. He's thrown zero interceptions this preseason. He's taken just one sack, and he's completing just short of 83% of his passes, 82.9% completion rate. So you love seeing Teddy Bridgewater take care of the ball. But what we loved the most from Saturday night was this.
A couple of receivers right, Charles Johnson to the left. Cowboys are in their nickel defense. Sean Lee cheats to the line of scrimmage. Jerick McKinnon is the single set. Five on the play clock. Teddy may have changed the play. In fact, he did. Now he's back out of the shotgun. Claps it, Berger. Berger delivers it. Teddy wants a deep shot to Mike Wallace. Caught at the 15-yard line. Oh, Teddy Bridgewater checked into a good one. He saw single coverage on Mike Wallace, and he said, sure, I'll take it. And Mike did. It's a 38-yard hit.
And ladies and gentlemen, I've seen enough. Take him out. Take Teddy out. Take everybody out. That's the answer when you see that one-on-one coverage outside that we have been looking for. And what a great throw by Teddy Bridgewater.
The incomparable Paul Allen with that play call, and people have been pining for the deep connection from Teddy Bridgewater to Mike Wallace all training camp, all preseason. Hadn't seen it through three preseason games. Finally saw it against the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go to special teams. Another long-distance strike. This one coming from Flash.
Here's the kick to Cordero Patterson. Cordero will give it a rip 6 yards deep between the hash marks. Angles out to the right. He's to the 10, to the 15. Cordero to the 30. He has the kicker to the beat, and he beats him inside the 40. Cordero Patterson is gone! Welcome back to the spotlight, young man. It's only the preseason, but you just silenced a bunch of people. It's 106 to the good, and the Vikings reclaim the lead.
And what a wonderful job blocking up front. We've seen Cordero get out to about the 20. He sets it up in the middle, and you can see him break outside, and all the Dallas defenders were completely fooled. He wanted to beat a kicker. That's how you beat a kicker. You beat him with speed.
And that, folks, is why so many teams so frequently kick away from Cordero Patterson. Now, one thing you like to see from Cordero, aside from the explosive touchdown return, is him crediting the 10 guys in front of him for getting him to the end zone.
Coach Preve told me, man, just get in and go. You know, he said it's been too long. It's been a long time since, you know, kickoff return, you know, had a touchdown. So you go out there, you know, if you had to lose ground, just get on the edge. And, you know, those 10 guys in front of me, they did a heck of a job, man. And, you know, they just led me to the promised land, man. You know, I couldn't do it without those 10 guys in front of me. I just seen the end zone, man. The end zone and the kicker, right? And I would not let him get me. So I see him, and I made a move on him and scored.
Going back and watching that kickoff return on tape, I'll give credit to Zach Line, Andrew Sendejo, and Matt Asiata. All three had key blocks early in that return to spring Cordero Patterson. And once Patterson got to the edge and started working his way upfield, he put one move on the kicker, broke a tackle, an attempted ankle tackle from the last Cowboys special teamer who had a shot at Patterson. Patterson broke that tackle and went on to the end zone. So Patterson strikes again. You love seeing that. As much as I'd love to move on right now from the Dallas game and talk about Tennessee, unfortunately for me, we have to review my over-under performance, which I can already tell producer Nate Vaughn, this is getting to be something that does not make me look very good.
You know, you started out 1-for-4 last week. You would think maybe you had a chance to do a little bit better this week. But
yeah, I even said there was really nowhere to go but up.
You found that not to be
right.
The complete truth.
I found somewhere to go but up, and that's down.
Right, yeah, you did go down.
Right.
But you were close, at least on one of them. We had tackles for Gerald Hodges. He got the start at middle linebacker, the third middle linebacker to start in as many games at that position.
Okay.
We put the over-under at 4.5, and you weren't far. You took the over, but the official statistic was 4 tackles.
I need a recount.
You need a recount?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Okay, so I'm 0-for-1 there. What's next?
0-for-1. So the second one, interceptions for the Vikings defense. They'd been able to pick off a few passes earlier in this preseason. Tony Romo, no small task. I know he wasn't the only quarterback to play, but still a tall task for the Vikings defense. We put the over-under at 0.5, and you took the over, which I can't totally blame you for, but that proved not to be true as well. Zero interceptions.
Okay, 0-for-2.
And then we put passing yards for Teddy Bridgewater. In the dress rehearsal game, we had the over-under at 145.5 yards.
Right.
Now, looking back, that might have been a little overzealous on my part, but you did take the over.
I did.
I'm shifting the blame to you.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll take it. I mean, I'm 0-for-3 after starting 1-for-4, going 0-for-3. Do the math. Private school math tells you that's 1-for-7. I mean, it's terrible. But on the Teddy Bridgewater one, I mean, I mean, he went 7-for-7, so that was actually my problem. My problem is that he went 7-for-7, you know, because, I mean, Mike Zimmer and Norv Turner see the franchise quarterback go 7-for-7 and hit Wallace deep down the sideline, and they yank him. I mean, they've seen enough.
He could have used a few more of those Wallace passes to get up to that stat line.
I could have used, like, you know, a drop pass here or there, a high throw here or there, you know, and he starts out going 3-for-7, you know, because now they're like, we need to see more of this guy, and now I have a better chance to get to 145. Instead, I think what did he finish with, 76 or something?
7-for-7 for 76 yards.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, you know, I chose the over I was wrong, was under, but really, when you look big picture, it's probably good news because he went 7-for-7 for 76 yards, got out of there, wasn't hurt, and now we have him for week 1.
So. In all seriousness, Teddy has looked very sharp this preseason. Preseason or not, I mean, the stat line doesn't lie. It's he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I know people say, well, you know, the defense isn't game planning, but well, the offense isn't game planning either. And you know, you're playing against guys. It's not like they're not trying. And I know another complaint, Nate, is, you know, Teddy check down. You know, people are like, yeah, he's completing a high percentage of his passes because he's checking down all the time. And that may or may not be true, but the bottom line is his yards per attempt is still above 7.5, which 7.5 is good on its own. And if you're above 7.5, that's very good. And Norv always says, you know, to me when I'm talking to him or when he's talking to other people, he's like, it doesn't matter. Norv says, it doesn't matter to me if it's a 21-yard completion and the ball traveled in the air 11 yards or traveled in the air 20 yards. You got 21 yards, and that's the bottom line. And the bottom line with Teddy is through four preseason games, and you'd think he won't play in the fifth. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But through four, Teddy's getting the job done and has done everything he can do to be tuned up and ready to go for the regular season.
All right, before we get to the over-unders for this game against Tennessee, why don't you give me a few points that you're going to be watching for this game against Tennessee on Thursday?
Well, I think playing time is like the big one. You always wonder who's going to play and who's not going to play. Don't be surprised if the starters don't play. And don't be surprised if key reserves don't play. One example that comes top of mind is Sean Hill. I mean, he's going to be your backup quarterback, and I think you know he knows where the bones are buried in this offense. He knows what he's doing. It's his 14th season, and really not much left for him to prove. So it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't play either. And since we have waived injured Mike Kafka, it could be Taylor Heineke's ball game. So don't be surprised if he gets the start again. Coach hasn't said what he's going to do, so we could see anything. But don't be surprised if it's Taylor Heineke who gets the bulk of the reps in Tennessee. Now, those who do start may play the whole game. You know, in the preseason, we see a lot of rotations. You know, and I think in this final game, there's less of that. I think it's almost like you treat it like a regular, like you would in a regular season game. Not in that you're playing your starters, but in that who you do play, they play most of the snaps. So, where will it be interesting to watch? I think defensive end, where you have starters who are solidified in Brian Robinson and Everson Griffin, but now you need a third defensive end. You have Danielle Hunter. He's going to make the team. I don't know that you would elevate him to be the quote-unquote third defensive end. Maybe you would. There was a snap against Dallas last weekend where he was a defensive end and they slid Brian Robinson inside to rush as a nickel rusher. That was interesting. But I think Scott Crichton and Justin Tratteau are competing for that that defensive end spot. Maybe they both are kept. Maybe just one of them is kept. I think that'll be interesting to watch because they should both get a ton of snaps. Offensive tackle position. Once again, you have your starters in place and TJ Clemmings at right tackle, Matt Khalil at left tackle. Against Dallas, it was David Yankee at left tackle, Austin Shepherd at right tackle. I wouldn't be surprised to see those two play most of the game. And if that is the case, it'll be interesting to see how they perform and if they can improve week to week, because that's what you want to see out of every player, but especially out of young players. And then going back to Heineke, let's see how he performs. You know, he was very good. I believe he was 11 of 11. I'm not mistaken, against Dallas. So, and, you know, you can tell Heineke's a gamer. He's got good instincts, and he's kind of a fun guy to watch play. He can escape pressure. He can ad lib a little bit. So it'll be kind of fun to watch him get out there and play some more. And just a reminder, after this game, final roster cuts will come soon after. Saturday is the deadline. You'll see some team, you know, every team plays on Thursday this week of the preseason so that they can give all the teams plenty of time to rest, recuperate, and get ready for the regular season opener. So you'll start to see cuts roll in from across the league as soon as Friday. The deadline is Saturday. So I think those are kind of the main Tennessee talkers going into the preseason finale on Thursday.
So, Wobby, normally we will look at three threats
yes.
that the opposing team poses towards the Vikings. This is kind of a weird game. You know, a lot of the starters aren't even going to dress for the game. So we're going to switch it back to us.
Okay.
What are three threats that we can pose to the Tennessee Titans?
I'll go offense only for this one. Stephon Diggs, you figure he's a guy who's going to play a bunch. You know, a guy that is probably going to be included on that final 53-man roster and play a bunch in games in the regular season. But you need to have guys out there running routes and fielding punts and kicks, and I think Stephon Diggs will be a guy who does that. So I think he's a threat for the Titans defense. Running back Dominique Williams scored a touchdown last week against the Cowboys, has two this preseason. I think he'll get a bunch of carries. The Vikings did release Joe Banyard earlier in the week, so that leaves, after the top three running backs, which are Adrian Peterson, Jerick McKinnon, and Matt Asiata, that leaves Dominique Williams and DeJuan Harris on the roster to carry the load against the Titans. So I think we'll see a bunch of Dominique Williams. And then how about Chase Ford? You know, health pending, I think he'll get out there and get a bunch of run. You're probably not going to play Kyle Rudolph much. Rhett Ellison can do so many different things. He could be a useful player in this preseason finale, but Chase Ford is a guy who might get out there if he's healthy and can play and run some routes, and might be Taylor Heineke's main man when he drops back to pass and is looking for receivers down the field. So Stephon Diggs, Dominique Williams, and Chase Ford, I think those three guys could all do some damage on Thursday night. Hopefully some of them can even find the end zone.
All right, now we'll jump back to the over-unders for this game against Tennessee.
Oh, goody.
The first one, you just mentioned Dominique Williams a bit ago.
Yeah.
Put on a pretty good showing against Dallas. You know, we've seen him in practice all through camp and practices now here back at Winter Park. He's shown he can run and catch the ball. So we're going to put the over-under at 1.5 touchdowns, rushing and or receiving for Dominique Williams in this game. What say you?
Over.
You say over?
Yeah. I mean,
you said he's going to get a lot of action, so it makes sense.
If I take over enough times, eventually I'm going to hit. I mean, if you're playing, you know, like if you're playing roulette at a casino, if you just hit on red enough times, you're going to hit it. So I'm going to go over. I mean, someone's got to score. We're going to score points. Norv's going to move the ball down the field. Taylor Heineke's going to move the ball down the field. Dominique Williams will find pay dirt. Over 1.5.
Got it. All right, the next one, we're going to look at total passing attempts for the entire game. So that's both teams, any quarterback that plays or not quarterback that happens to throw the ball.
Right.
You know,
that
you
can happen. It's
the fourth preseason game. A lot of attitudes may be just run the ball, run out the clock, get out of there, everybody healthy. But at the same time, you know, from what we've seen from this offense, they're not shy about throwing the ball around
a
little bit.
Definitely not. I'm taking the over-under at...
Well, I need to give it to you first. So I'll put the over-under at 48 total passes combined.
Okay, for both teams. I'm under on that. I mean,
under.
Ken Wisenhunt and Mike Zimmer, they want to see their team play, and they want to get some work done, but they also want to get out of there, get ready for the regular season. So I am going under on that one.
All right, for our final over-under,
mm-hmm.
One of the trends we've seen is the amount of two-point conversion attempts.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you, do you take over or under 2.5 two-point conversion attempts in this game by both teams total?
I'm going to take the over. I think you'll see that trend continue in this preseason finale and with the Vikings and Titans and all across the league. It's been interesting, the new PAT format where it's now a 33-yard extra point try rather than the quote-unquote automatic try. Under the previous format has caused more teams to go for two more often. And that tells me that some teams are thinking about doing that for the regular season. That's why they've been practicing it so much in the preseason. And I think you'll see that continue. So I'll take the over.
Do you see that being something the Vikings might try a little bit of during the regular season?
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell with Coach Zimmer, you know, because you have, and I know Blair has had his misses this preseason, but we know that Blair, when things are going well, Blair is a solid kicker. But at the same time, having the two-point conversion from the two-yard line, increasing the PAT attempt to a 33-yard try, it does make going for two more compelling, you know. And if you have a quarterback who's completing, 83% of his passes, which Teddy is, and I'm not saying he's going to do that in the regular season, but if you have a quarterback who's playing well, and look at some of the weapons the Vikings have with Kyle Rudolph, he's a great guy in a goal line situation. You can throw a pass to him. Cordell Patterson's got a little size to him. He can go up and get it. You can throw one to him.
Mike Wallace has proved he's valuable in the red zone.
I guess that's true. He had 9 red zone touchdowns last season, so obviously he knows how to get it done. But Adrian Peterson, Adrian Peterson,
he's
obviously
good too.
Yeah, he is pretty good, right? Good short yardage back. Matt Asiata proved last year he can be a good short yardage back. Teddy has some mobility. He's proven to be a good decision maker. So if Mike Zimmer does indeed decide to go for two with more frequency than he did last year, I cannot blame him for that, because I think he's got the weapons to do it. And I think when you get into some games with certain weather conditions, it might be worth it to do that. So it won't surprise me. And really, it's interesting for the Vikings and for a lot of teams in the league who have this situation, but we have a defensive-minded head coach in Mike Zimmer. So, he kind of might understand what it's like to be a defense and have the pressure of having to stop a two-point conversion. I mean, there might be a lot of times when you know, when you hope the team goes for one, because, you know, you think their chances of scoring the 2-point conversion are pretty good and they get an extra point. So I don't know what the Vikings will do. Having such a solid kicker makes it a tough call on trying to predict what the Vikings will do. But if you're a team that's got like a bottom third of the league kicker and, you know, you play a bunch of games outdoors and with, you know, traditionally bad weather conditions, like, I'm not saying Cleveland has a bottom third of the league kicker, but Cleveland is an environment where it's often very windy there because they play right on the lake. Buffalo plays right on the lake. It's very windy there. San Francisco plays, you know, they used to play on the bay, but they play in a traditionally windy environment. I don't know what it's like at Levi Stadium, but they traditionally have. So, like, that could factor into it as well. It's always raining in Seattle, you know. So, I mean, I think weather will play into it too for coaches on the whole 2-point conversion thing. So at the end of the day, though, I'm taking over for this game at 2.5.
So we have over 1.5 touchdowns for Dominique Williams.
Yes.
We have under 48 total pass attempts
yes.
in the game, and we have over 2.5 2-point conversion attempts.
Mark them down.
On Thursday night. All right, what else can we look for on Vikings.com?
All right, well, stay tuned to the website for all the traditional pregame content that we like to bring you before a regular season or a preseason game, because we will do that. When we land in Nashville on Wednesday, we'll try and run down Vikings radio analyst Pete Bursich to get his take on the final preseason game. Pete was a player in the NFL for the Vikings. He was an assistant coach in the NFL for the Vikings, and now he's, of course, our radio analyst. But, you know, he was not a starting linebacker, a regular starting linebacker. He was a special teams ace, a guy who specialized in playing special teams. And then, of course, he was a linebacker's coach, so he had to make roster decisions all the time. So he, I think, offers a good perspective on the final preseason game, what to look for, what's going through a player's mind and a coach's mind, what's going to happen immediately after the game. So we're going to get with Pete once we land in Nashville. We'll do our hotel interview with Vikings radio analyst Pete Bursich. So heads up for that. Of course, we'll have our team photographer there taking pictures of all the guys as we travel to Nashville and their fancy outfits, and fans get to vote on that. So check that out. And then the game, of course, the highlights. We'll do our post-game wrap from the stadium in Nashville, wrap up the preseason, look forward to the regular season. That should be a lot of fun. And then roster cuts over the weekend. Of course, that'll be something to watch as the Vikings whittle their roster down to 53 players. Monday is Labor Day and marks the one-week out point for the Vikings and their regular season opener on Monday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers. So a weird week right off the bat for the Vikings. You know, we talked about dealing with that rain delay that we had in the preseason and how it kind of helps you practice getting the job done while being on a weird schedule, and the Vikings are on a weird schedule right out of the gates with that Monday night game against the 49ers. You land back in Minnesota on Tuesday. 5 days later, you have a division opponent against the Detroit Lions. So the next, I know it feels like, because the opening weekend is like September 14th and 15th, and that feels like it's a long ways away, but it's going to happen fast with the preseason finale Thursday, the roster cuts over the weekend, the Labor Day holiday, and then we get right into game preparation week. So tons of stuff will be happening. Vikings.com is going to be your source for all of it. And of course, we always like to remind you, if you haven't done so yet, you got to download the Vikings app, because we'll get all the best content delivered straight to your mobile device. You don't have to monkey around with going to try and find it. We're going to serve it up to you on a platter. That's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. We will be back early next week once the preseason is over, once the rosters are set, and once the team starts getting ready for the 49ers. We're going to be back with you with another edition of the Wobcast. Until then, on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I am your host, Mike Wobshaw. We will talk to you next time.